What a terrific hymn, isn't it? How bitter and filled with God. So, the story so far. God's people about to possess the promised land. And what's happening is this, that the people of Israel had experienced 400 years of slavery under the Egyptian rule. They'd cried out to God, and God had raised up Moses as a leader for them. And Moses, do you remember? He performed signs and miracles and wonders before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. They'd all witnessed this. The whole nation had witnessed this. The nation of Israel, nation of Egypt. The final miracle that God performed to demonstrate his power and his judgment on Egypt was the death of the firstborn. The death of the firstborn of every animal and of every family in Egypt. You might remember that for the Israelites it was different. The firstborn did not die in the families of Israel, and the reason for that was that they killed a lamb as a substitute. And that event was called the Passover, wasn't it? And so they celebrated that. They were, as it were, thrown out by the Egyptians. And they made their way into the wilderness. They had to cross the Red Sea. Absolutely impossible. How can you get a nation? The best estimates are about 2 million people. Astonishing number of people. 2 million people had to cross the Red Sea. With the Egyptians on their back, the Red Sea in front of them, what were they to do? God did a miracle again. He parted the waters. And the people of Israel went across, not on mud, but on dry land. Amazing. God brought them into the desert. And they were going to worship God there at Mount Horeb. God gave them the law. God gave the law to Moses. And the people of Israel saw the power and the majesty and the glory, the terrifying sight of the smoking mountain, the thunder and the earthquake. They all saw this. They knew that God was among them. They spent about a year in that wilderness, sort of being constituted as a people, as a nation. And after that year, we pick up the reading. And the reading is this, that God said to Moses, send a leader from every one of the 12 tribes. And that leader has the responsibility, or those leaders together, have the responsibility of surveying the land that I have given to you as a nation. Just imagine the excitement. Imagine the sense of anticipation. Looking over the land that was going to become theirs. Because they were in the desert and they were looking, having spent a year in the desert, witnessing miracles there. The Lord providing manna. The Lord providing water for 2 million people. So they knew the power and the majesty of God. And so the 12 spies went out into the promised land with that sense of excitement. And they spent about 40 days. They all had the same background. They all had the same history. They all had shared experiences. A little bit like us in Feltham Evangelical Church. We know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know what it is to be a slave to sin, just as The Israelites knew what it was to be a slave in Egypt. Many of us know what it is for the blood of Christ, our Passover lamb, to give us salvation. Many of us know what it is to go through those waters of baptism, just as Israel went through the Red Sea on dry land. In a sense, it was a baptism into Moses. Paul teaches about that in 1 Corinthians 10. Many of us have been baptized here. We have that experience of declaring our faith in God, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have that experience too. And we also have the common goal, that we know that we actually do not belong here. We belong to the promised land. We are on a journey. We are on a journey. God has prepared a place for us. But there is going to be a battle. There needs to be the possession of the land. And so these 12 men had a great background. They had every reason for moving forwards with confidence, going into the promised land and preparing for battle. But you know what happens? When we're together, we're not in our official meeting, we're not in our Sunday service, we're not in our midweek Wednesday meeting, we're just passing the time of day, or perhaps on holiday, we start talking and sharing our problems and our difficulties. And for those 12 spies, as they went around the promised land, I say 40 days. That's a long time. And they started looking at the Anakim. Now these, and the Nephilim, these were giants, people who are just genetically tall, all right? Unusually tall. Goliath, do you remember how tall he was? I think it was about 9 feet, wasn't he? Astonishing height. Well, these people were giants so far as the Israelites were concerned. And as they started talking together among themselves, the 12, they started sharing their concerns. They started sharing their doubts. It's a fantastic land. Look at the agriculture. Look at the crops. Look at the fruit. Look at the towns and the cities. Absolutely amazing. It's going to be brilliant. But no, it isn't going to be brilliant. Because if we want all of that to be our possession, then we've got to conquer those giants. And so they talked with one another. Have you ever been in a conversation where you were feeling okay at the beginning of the conversation, and then by the time you get to the end of it, you're feeling right down and discouraged, your heart is in your boots, and you wonder whether you're even a Christian? That's what was happening to these 12. They were just dragging one another down. Dear friends, we can do that with one another as well. Now, I was refreshed, Zach, by what you said about Michael. It's honestly. And one of the things that has refreshed Brenda and me as we have, as we're fellowshipping here now, is the openness and the honesty among some of the folk here. And it's lovely, it really is. It's really special. But you know, we can, if we're not careful, pull one another down instead of lift one another up. There is a whole lot said in the Bible about encouraging one another. Have you got your Bible open? Have you got it ready? So let's have a little look. How about turning to Ephesians? I'm afraid I can't give you page numbers. You'll have to use the index or learn the books of the Bible yourself. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 29. In fact, verse 25 I'll go from. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood. In other words, pretending to be something that you are not. And speak truthfully to your neighbour. For we're all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. And so we are to use the gift of speech, the gift of language, as a means of encouragement. And on the basis of that scripture, I want to encourage you, when we are talking with one another, be listening, not only to the person that you are with, but listening to the Holy Spirit. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Yeah? You believe in the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit can guide your listening, so that you can hear things that may not be put into actual words, but come from the very heart of the person who is speaking. And the Holy Spirit can prompt us in our own minds and hearts to say that word that is just the right word for that person. That's a very precious thing to do. There's another favourite scripture I've got on this, and it's Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And there's a few verses here that start off with the phrase, let us, which is a nice way of remembering them. I've highlighted them in my Bible. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with the full assurance of faith that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Here's another let us. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And another one. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You see, we are to be a people, if we love the Lord Jesus Christ, if we have the Holy Spirit within us, if we're reading God's word, and I would recommend day by day, then we will have God's word in our hearts and our minds, and we will be those who are looking for opportunities of encouraging one another in our faith. Because let's be honest about it, folks, it's not easy to follow Jesus. In fact, I've often said, it's impossible to be a Christian. People say, oh, I live by the Beatitudes. Really? I keep the Ten Commandments. Really? Being a Christian, I would say, is impossible. Love one another as I have loved you. It's impossible. Just like those spies said, it's impossible to take the land. Those 10 spies were looking at the wrong subject. They were obsessed with the greatness of the problem. Caleb was obsessed with God, who was bigger than the Anakim and the Nephilim, who was bigger than all the problems. Yes, I repeat, it is impossible to be a Christian apart from having Christ in you. And so I ask the question, is Christ in you? You come to church, but is Christ in you? You read your Bible sometimes, but is the Holy Spirit in you? You sing the songs, but have you been born again of the Holy Spirit of God? Do you know what it is to repent of your sin and to be in awe of the majesty and the glory and the power and the goodness of God? Do you know what that is? See, those spies, those 10 spies, they had all 12 of them had the same background. They knew the greatness of God. They'd all come through, as it were, the same ritual of miracles, of Passover, of baptism, of the 10 commandments. They'd been through it all. But you know what? 10 of them were spiritually dead. And we can come through our church routine and ceremonies. We can be hatched, matched and dispatched. And we know absolutely nothing of the awe and the majesty and the glory and the grace and the goodness of God. And God is inviting us this morning to abandon the blindness of the 10. All they could see with their eyes of unbelief were the problems. And all the 2 could see with their eyes of faith were the possibilities. Isn't that wonderful? They all had the same background. They'd all seen the same land. But Caleb was prepared to be the odd man out. Caleb was prepared to speak out and say, it can be done. It can be done. And Caleb means, as I pointed out to the children, Caleb means wholehearted. And you know, that speaks to me of the work of the Holy Spirit. In some ways, Joshua, who led them, Joshua speaks to me of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, Joshua, the Hebrew name Joshua, is the same as the name Jesus in Greek. It's exactly the same. So Joshua of the Old Testament was actually Jesus in Greek. And Jesus in the New Testament was Joshua in the Old. It's the same thing. And just as Jesus has pioneered the way, has fought the battle, has won the prize, seated at the right hand of God, so Jesus wants to lead you and me in triumph as well, overcoming the unbelief and the works of Satan. And Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And Caleb reminds me of the Holy Spirit. Caleb, the wholehearted one, the encourager. We can do it. And the Holy Spirit is like the encourager in your heart. We can do it. We can do it. There is all the resources that we need to do what God has commissioned us to do. Now the question is, what are we going to do? Because we're not the 12 spies. But as a church, we are to spy out the land. We are to look and see, what is it that we are meant to be doing here in Filton? And Mark and Zach and Mark have been tasked with the responsibility, together with Pastor Philip, the responsibility of spying out the land. They are, in a sense, our spies. But the spies need warriors. Because what was going to happen was, when the spies came back, the idea was they'd say, okay, guys, we're going to go. and they were going to lead the people to the conquest of the promised land. And as Mark and Zach and Philip give leadership and vision, and that vision can come from you as well. The Lord may put something on your heart and you can say, Mark, have you thought of doing this? Have you thought perhaps we could reach out to that group of people? As we get that vision from God, we're going to need the Calebs, the encouragers. We're going to need the Joshuas, the warriors, the mighty captain. But we're also going to need us, the ordinary people, working together in faith, listening to the voice of faith and not the voice of unbelief, not the voice of doubting, but the certainty that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God for the salvation of those who believe. Isn't that wonderful? The gospel is still the power of God to the salvation of those who believe. Have you been saved? Do you believe? Have you been born again? Are you in Christ? Are you daily being filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can live this impossible life of being a Christian, so that you can rejoice in the Lord always? So that you can have an appropriate word for the unbelieving friend at work and for the fellow Christian here who may be going through a tough time. We are a people on the move. Now, what happened in this account? What happened? Which voice prevailed? Tragically, it was the voice of unbelief. The voice of unbelief. You see, Satan wants you and me to be so obsessed with the problems and the difficulties in our own lives, in society, of taking the gospel out. He presents all of these as giants and says, you know what, guys? Just be content with coming along on a Sunday. Sing your songs, listen to your sermon, and then go back home unchanged. Yeah? That's what Satan wants. Just go through a load of Christian routine and mumbo jumbo. But the voice of Caleb, the voice of the Holy Spirit says, guys, we can do it. We can do it. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. Last night's meeting, which unfortunately I couldn't get to because I was unwell. Fearless. You say, well, that's not me. It's not most of us, because most of us are fearful. But you know what? Do you know your scriptures? Paul, writing to Timothy, said this: God has not given you a spirit of fear. All right? So if you are saying, I'm afraid I can't do it, that does not come from God. All right? God has not given you a spirit of fear. God has given you a spirit of, anyone know the scripture? A spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. That's it. First of all, you need the love before you need the power, because power without love is a menace. First of all, we need to be filled with the love of God. Next, we need the infilling of the power of God. And next, we need a sound mind. We don't just speak what comes to the top of our head, but we speak the words of truth, godly words, wise words, sensible words, encouraging, edifying, building up words. Amen? Yeah? That's what we need to be doing. And so, yes, there is a land to conquer. There is Feltham. Brenda and I are on the mailing list for a missionary in Indonesia. And she's just suffered the tragedy of her husband dying from cancer. He was only about 60. Went through a very long illness of prostate cancer. And writing in her newsletter, only probably a month or so after the tragedy, she had gathered the leaders in Indonesia around her, and she was presenting them with this challenge. How can we, as church leaders and as mission leaders, how can we all work together to win this region for Jesus? Wow. Here was a woman who wasn't wallowing in her own grief and bereavement, but her vision was, how can we reach this region for Jesus? And dear friends, I want to say to you, how can we not be spectators or just calling on a Sunday Christians? But how can we reach this area for Jesus? Because that's what we're here for. Zach and Mark and Philip and Mark aren't running these services so that we're cozy and comfortable. Yes, so that we're equipped and empowered and encouraged, but so that we can win this region for Jesus. So that we can take the gospel into the workplace, into the home, into the neighbourhood, onto the bus, onto the train, wherever we are. And when the Holy Spirit gives us a nudge, I mean, I'm afraid I can't say anything, Lord. And then God says, I didn't give you that spirit of fear. Where does that come from? I've given you a spirit of love. Spirit of love. A spirit of power. A sound mind. You'll know what to say if you dare to open your mouth for me. But if you keep it shut, you won't need me to give you your words. Yeah? We need to be those who are going to take this area for Jesus. Are you one with the leaders in their vision to reach this area for Christ? Are you going to be committed with them in sharing the everlasting gospel? I say, in the office, as well as here in this area. Well, sadly, the story that we have just read from ended in 40 years. Can you imagine that? 40 years in the wilderness, while the generation of over 20s died off. Every one of them died. They never possessed the promised land. And dear friends, I have to tell you with great solemnity that there are many people who go to church every week and they will never inherit the promised land. They will never inherit the promised land of heaven. Because they're going through a routine. They're not born again. They're not being filled with the Spirit. They're not seeking the will of God. They're just turning up at church, singing the songs. That's it. That's as far as it goes. Dear friends, if that's you, you'll die in the desert. God is calling us to be a Caleb, to be a Joshua. God is calling us to go in and conquer. Now, in the Bible account, the voice of the 10 prevailed. And I wonder, if it's proportionate, I wonder whether what's 2 out of 12 as a percentage, it's 1/6, isn't it? 16%. I wonder if 16% of Israel were like Caleb and Joshua. And that 16% were held back for 40 years. Because of the others. unbelief. Let's not be those who hold the church back, but let's have that vision of moving forward. Now, Jesus said, before he left his disciples, he said this, "Guys, I'm off. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you so that you can be where I am." Isn't that terrific? Jesus has gone ahead to prepare a place for all those who love and follow him. It's not a bit of scripture that we can just use willy-nilly at any funeral. It's true only for those who are in Christ. Jesus said, "I've gone to prepare a place for you. I'm going, and I will be back." And thank God that we can say, this world is not my home. When Peter was writing his epistle, you can see it for yourself, I'm not turning it to it now. Peter says, "To the strangers and pilgrims in Cappadocia, Bithynia, and all around there." He calls fellow Christians strangers, pilgrims, because we don't belong here. We belong up there. But we need to live here. In Jesus' prayer, he said, "I'm not praying, Father, that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the world, so that they'll be distinctive, that they will live as citizens of heaven while they live down here." So, brothers and sisters, let's take our warning from the 10. Let's take our inspiration from the 2. And let's be men and women of faith. Men and women who are encouraging one another. Men and women who are seeking to take this area for Christ. And men and women who know where their true home is. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on each one of us. Please expose our own areas of darkness and sin and hypocrisy and unbelief. Forgive us, Father, when we are content to be lukewarm Christians. Cleanse us from unbelief. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Naught be all else to me, save that thou art. Amen.